alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers. Eric Pincus joins us. Sports, business, classroom, and Bleacher Report on the Lakers-Warriors series, where Los Angeles is now leading 3-1. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
How would you look at this series now after 4 games? How are the Lakers up 3-1? What has been the one or two keys so far in the series that's worked for them in this 3-1 lead?
I mean, both teams have clear advantages. It's just a question of who's able to exert more than the other. And the Lakers have a physical size advantage, mostly in AD and LeBron, that is, you know, tough for anyone to deal with. I mean, they're legendary players, especially LeBron. Really, I think the Warriors are, they've struggled with fouls, specifically in game 3, was it, where Draymond got into foul trouble. The Lakers just being bigger and stronger has been, really, I think, the difference.
What do you make of that defense? I mean, it looked so suffocating last night for the Lakers, what they were able to do, especially in the last part of that game where Steph is taking quick shots rather than using the clock to get a better shot. And then the chaos at the end where they don't even know they have a timeout. It seems like the Lakers are really putting some sort of level of defense on the Warriors and disrupting the rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers have been a really good defensive team post the Russell Westbrook trade, not to blame Russ, but they rebuilt the team and this is who they are. They play defense. It's a very clear pecking order of AD and LeBron, and then they have some other guards who are willing shooters, and so the offense can flow. But everyone is committed to playing defense, and if you don't play defense, you're not really getting minutes. And the Warriors, there were some uncharacteristic mistakes. I don't know if you put that on the Lakers and say it's their pressure, or was it just the Warriors? Steph had a timeout. He just sort of threw the ball away. The quick shots. Maybe there was some fatigue. I don't know the answer specifically, but when you're playing it against AD, who probably should have gotten votes for Defensive Player of the Year, he makes up for a lot of shortcomings otherwise. And LeBron doesn't necessarily get out on shooters like he used to, but you see these chase down blocks. He's still a powerful guy in year 20.
Yeah, and I wanted to get to that. I mean, obviously, as time ticks away, you're not the same player as you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatnot, but how do you evaluate LeBron at 38 in this series? How has he been effective, and in what ways have you seen a little bit of father time creeping in his game?
Well, I mean, the 3-point shot is bad. I mean, he's not hitting shots consistently, and maybe that never comes back. Maybe it does. On rotations, he doesn't get out on shooters, so there are times where Steph or Clay or someone else can get open because LeBron's not going to – he just can't get himself out that far. He's a big dude. I mean, that's what's so crazy about LeBron is how skilled and capable he is at the size and weight that he carries. And so there are some limitations. But he's engaged, he's playing defense, and he is, pacing himself. I mean, there are times – where you're like, but the other day LeBron didn't shoot in the first quarter. There are games where you could see he's like, LeBron doesn't look great, but then end game, you're seeing something special. And he still runs line to line, like up and down the court in a straight line exceptionally well. So you see those chase down blocks. That's just, him getting ahead of steam and jumping. And it's still LeBron James. I mean, he's been really, really good. And I asked him earlier in the year about the age thing, and he just said, when he was young, he would jump in the air and decide what to do once he was up there because he'd still be going up when guys were going down.
Yeah.
But that's not who he is anymore. And so he has to think it through. I've been around a lot of people. His mind for the game, his ability to recall what's happening is, among the best that I've ever been around. I mean, he's really brilliant at what he does. So He's using his mind. I'm not imperfectly, you know. Sometimes I'm like, LeBron, why are you shooting that shot? But, you know, other than that, I think the Laker fans and the Lakers themselves are pretty happy with what he's doing.
Lonnie Walker the fourth last night, 15 points all in the fourth quarter. Did it come out of nowhere? What's his role on this team? Where do we see his effectiveness? Or was that as a surprise to as many as it was to us who don't watch them on a nightly basis?
I mean, he doesn't have a role on this team. That's what is crazy. I mean,
yeah.
When they started the season, he was a starter. He was getting huge minutes, and he would have some games where he would, you know, absolutely blow up. But then it started to wane a little bit. You know, he's only 23, 24, still not that experienced. And, you know, he had a minor injury, was out like about a month. And at the same time, Lakers made a bunch of trades and rebuilt their lineup. And he just fell out completely. And so he got do not plays, you know, for a long time and would play garbage time. And really was every so often he'd get a minute. You know, like a stretch, and he'd deliver. I mean, like there was a game last month, or well, I guess last month of the season or so, where he, you know, blew up and had a great game just out of the blue because of, you know, injuries to others. But he doesn't play. And it's a really, you know, inspiring situation where, we all in life, we don't always get what we want, not to our own fault, where you're just in a tough situation and you feel like, you know, it's not fair and all that. And you know, he didn't get negative and didn't hang his head and didn't stop working. So when his number was called, I mean, just came out last night and in that fourth saved their season in a lot of ways. So really impressive moment for the young guy.
I don't want to get too far ahead, but they're a win away from the Western Conference Finals. And it was a season where people kept saying, oh, when they're healthy, when they come together, LeBron would be out a period of time. Anthony Davis is out a period of time. Was there a feeling throughout the season? Was that wishful thinking? Was there a real feeling that when everything is on the table, when they are all on the table, this is a team that can make it very far in the playoffs? I don't want to use the term house money, but are they playing with that kind of now?
No, I mean, excuse me, with Russ, it was a terrible fit. And it's not to blame Russ or whatever, but the situation was toxic. LeBron understood, you know, from what I understand, that it wasn't working and that it wasn't going to work. And so Russ, who's very much a loyalty guy, if LeBron wants you traded, it's hard for Russ to fake it and be like, oh yeah, this is okay, that, you know, the LeBron's trying to get me traded. So it was just absolute, it was not going to work. So once they made the trades, then I was like, well, they did a great job of filling their needs. I saw how it could work where you have a scorer at the point who can play off the ball where Russ couldn't play off the ball. You had a defender in Vanderbilt. They got more size. You know, they got Rui, not at the deadline, but near it. And suddenly they have a big forward, whereas Darvin Ham was playing three guards all the times because he didn't have any other choice based on who he had. So once they got together, then it was like, yeah, you know, this team could do something special if they could just get on the floor all together and, you know, knock on wood. Because I root for health for all 30 teams, and it just doesn't happen in the NBA. It's a war of attrition. If they could stay healthy, they have a shot to do something pretty crazy.
That being said, how much, if Golden State comes out at home and starts running away in this game, what do you see for the minutes for LeBron and Anthony Davis? They looked exhausted last night, and there's no real break in this series now.
Yeah, I mean, the good news for both teams is that it's an easy flight. So, like when the Lakers were playing back in Memphis, there was more space between the games, but it was harder on LeBron to stay fresh. Him most importantly, because of, you know, his age, and certainly everyone else has to, you know, in the series, you could talk about the Warriors and they have some older guys too. But I think for LeBron, it's the most beneficial when they get some extra days they just don't have. So the Warriors, if they come out in the next game, which I expect them to play their best, I could see the Lakers taking it back home in six, which was my original prediction. But you know, the series is not over because you have Steph, you have Clay, you have Draymond, you have Wiggins, you have a really good roster. Steve Kerr is coaching, you know, a really good series, I think. I mean, I think there's some limitations to their roster compared to when they won, you know, titles and whatnot. But, you know, they won a title last year, so we'll have to wait and see. I wouldn't say that they're done just yet.
Eric Pincus again joining us. Appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much for getting up with us to talk Lakers basketball.
Of course. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. Eric Pincus on a Progressive guest line. We'll come back, wrap up the hour. Thoughts and more on the NBA playoffs from last night and tonight with two big game fives. Again, both of the series with the Celtics and Sixers and Denver and Phoenix all tied up at two games apiece. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us.